Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Tuesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Elijah Herbel, all sitting in with you. Numbers are open. Can get in at 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Can email Chris at hailvarsity.com. Give us a follow on Twitter, Chris Schmidt at Schmidt underscore radio, Colton Stone at Two Birds, One Stone, at Elijah Herbel at Herbal Essence. And looks like you used some this morning. You two guys are powering up. You're taking the reins tomorrow as I'm out at a golf event. Tomorrow and Friday. I'm excited. Colton, you're drinking some sort of green tribute to the Incredible Hulk type smoothie slushy. What is that? Looks like slime from You Can't Do That on Television.
I mean, it's fairly healthy. I think once you put
Fairly healthy with the vodka and it starts on fire.
Once you put spinach in anything, it turns it green, so it makes it look gross.
How does that mix with everything?
It kind of you don't really taste it between everything else, but I also, my protein powder is key lime pie, so you kind of
You need a little something to dry out the sweet.
Yeah. So coffee, peanut butter, cinnamon, protein powder, spinach.
Does it help?
A little ice.
Does it help the squats?
No.
Help the bench.
it helps me.
It helps the bro tank look, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it helps me not be as hungry in the middle of the day. Because I, for whatever reason, I haven't been eating until like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I drink some coffee in the morning, suppress my appetite, and I don't eat till the middle of the day. It may not be great for me, but.
Yeah, well, you still got good metabolism. Mitch Sherman is coming up from The Athletic. Mitch is all over all things Nebraska. We love talking to Mitch. We will talk the Nebraska head coaching vacancy for baseball. Mitch has spent a lot of time in his career covering Darren Erstad. We'll get some reflection there. And where does Nebraska go? We kind of started getting into the who's next candidate pool, the coaching carousel thoughts yesterday. We'll follow some of that up today. So Mitch Sherman in 15 minutes. In 1 hour, excited to talk to a standout Husker and a World Series champ and a guy that firsthand experienced heights at the University of Nebraska on the Hill for Rob Childress. Jabba Chamberlain will join us at 5:06. We'll talk with Jabba and kind of pick his brain on Childress. And, I mean, Jabba can't speak for Childress. Obviously, they're close. That said, what Rob Childress and Nebraska baseball did when they were amazing going to Omaha was they got in-state kids, they developed in-state kids, and that's been no difference from what A&M has been doing. And, you know, can you do it again in Nebraska? Well, Bill Dolman going to be with us as well. Bill Dolman's well-versed in college baseball, spends a lot of his time during the spring and into the summer months doing Division I baseball, just got done with the Big 12 baseball tournament. So we'll touch on some of the other options where maybe you can draw from with Nebraska, Bill Moos, and the next head coach for Nebraska baseball. Who will that be? What's the timeline? So Billy D going to join us. And, okay, put your Bill Moos hat on. And we'd all like to wear a Bill Moos hat because the guy's money. He's 2 for 2. With football and with basketball, and he's kind of done the impossible, not necessarily landing Frost. I think that was, an inside track, obviously, with Coach Frost. Not that it was a done deal by any means. He still had to go seal it and make it happen. He did. I'm still kind of pinching myself about Hoiberg because it's like his name was on the radar as pipe dream wish list guy, and then it happened. Nebraska Bill Moos landed the mayor, and you're still smiling about that. You saw the work that Hoiberg's already done flipping a roster. Can Bill Moos go 3 for 3 and in hires in the major sports. So you're sitting pretty right now with a phenomenal volleyball coach. You're sitting good to soon great, I think, with your football coach and your basketball coach. Bill Moose's expectations are to compete for championships, be in the thick of it, and you have an opportunity to maybe make a move in the Big Ten. The Big Ten is better. You've got another super regional team in Michigan. They whacked Creighton last night. You had a super regional team a year ago with what Minnesota did. You've had a super regional team in the past with Indiana. Indiana went to the College World Series with Schwarber. So the Big Ten baseball, let's pay attention to you a little bit better, but it's still not great. That's the biggest hurdle for Bill Moose right now, is to go to a Rob Childress, to some of his assistants, two guys with Nebraska ties, two guys at Dallas Baptist, or two guys that are assistants at Arkansas. I mean, just go through. We'll go through the name game here, okay? There are hurdles to go get guys or assistants from the Big 12. Do you make a phone call to Pat Casey, who's currently out of coaching? There's a ton of very qualified and talented candidates to move this program forward and pick up where Darren Erstad's left it off, and that's competing for championships and knocking on that door with a really good young team coming back. What is the first phone call you make if you put your Bill Moose hat on? And this is probably obvious, but it's still my number one target is probably your number one target, and you got to go fire the smoker up. You got to throw some ribs and brisket on your smoker, or go see how big Rob Childress's smoker's down in Texas. Maybe Rob Childress is back to his second home in the state of Nebraska already, with A&M being eliminated. You got to have some sweet tea or a bourbon or whatever the hell you need to do to sit down and get in front of Rob Childress. Is that doable? Is it possible? Yes. Is it likely? I don't know. I can't wait to talk to Mitch Sherman about that and get his expertise on it. You had Rob Childress that started with Van Horn as an assistant in 98, and Nebraska was a great baseball program. Was a great baseball program with Van Horn and Rob Childress. Can you go back to that? Well, absolutely. Is it a different landscape because of the Big Ten when it comes to oversigning, when it comes to expectations, when it comes to Texas ties? Nebraska kicked butt, took names with how they recruited with Van Horn, and Childress with how he recruited in-state. Rob Childress is still very connected to high school coaches in the state of Nebraska. He gets your top two or three guys, it feels like, every year to take a trip down to Texas A&M. Ross Bork is the new athletic director at Texas A&M. Woodward was the AD. Rob's been there for a ton of years, 14 going on 15 years, and a far cry from the Bill Byrne era. Now, Childress has made 13 consecutive regionals. He's only missed one regional. We're not that far away from the CWS run that A&M had. They got to a College World Series 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. But leading up to that year, there was some, well, is Rob gonna get it done here? I mean, there was some of that floating around at A&M. Rob's number right now, I read this morning, was I think between $700,000 and $850,000, probably closer to $1 million when you put a bow on everything. And your average salary in the Big Ten right now is probably about $580,000. And Nebraska has the money to spend, and Nebraska has the money to spend on an assistant staff with whatever Rob wants to do. The real question is Rob Childress a guy you get in front of? Yes. He's the first call you make. He's a guy you sit down with. You make him say no to you. What's the likelihood of him saying no? Does he want to get out of a good thing that he has at A&M? How good a situation is it at A&M right now? Well, him and his mama bear are from Texas, okay? He can recruit Texas, does very well. They're a very good program in the SEC. It's between them and LSU in the West, just knocking it out, right? And would he leave all of that to to resurrect Nebraska baseball, or to try and go back in time to that golden era. And he's done it, and he did it at Nebraska post Van Horn with Nebraska kids. And there is talent in this state. There are arms in this state to go get. And he did it. He did it very well. We'll talk to one of those arms, Jabba Chamberlain, coming up. So what kind of deal can be made here? If you're Rob Childress, you'll probably listen because you still have a fondness for Nebraska. It's still part of you because you're here. You have a home here. Do you leave and trade in the SEC, which is a rat race, mm-hmm. which is cutthroat, which is, you know, you've been to regionals consecutively here for 13 birthday candles, and that isn't good enough. A&M's pretty political. A&M's got a ton of money. A&M makes money. And is it okay to just continue to try and get it done there? Or would you be open to a move? Or is the conference itself, what's the biggest turnoff for Nebraska? Facilities are great. They're not the best anymore in college baseball, but they're still pretty darn good, and they're still a fantastic within the Big Ten. But now that you're not in the Big 12 anymore, would you be able to go get it done with your Texas recruiting or your JUCO talent that you get out of the Jayhawk League in Kansas? I think he could. Could you get kids back up to Nebraska? I think so. I think he has good enough ties in Texas to move them. Instead of going to A&M, you'll be asking him to go away from home. But just tell mom and dad to get the Big Ten Network, I guess. Is the biggest hurdle the conference Nebraska's in? Although it's better, it's still an afterthought sport, in my opinion, when you look at football, basketball, and even volleyball.
Yeah, I think the two biggest things really are recruiting to the conference, and then I don't think it's an issue as far as money goes. The money's there. But you look at, this is as of 2018, the 2019 hasn't come out yet, but Childress is 9 on the list as far as total compensation goes. Van Horn is 10, and the only Big Ten in the top 30 is Michigan. And they're number 15. That's Bakich. Mm-hmm. He makes $625,000. So, I mean, likely whoever they hire will more, you know, be either the second highest paid or the highest paid coach mm-hmm. of the Big Ten. I don't think that's an issue. But, yeah, recruiting, I don't think it's impossible to pull those kids from Texas. You've got enough ties down there.
Well, and he'll do his work to keep his Nebraska kids here because he's right. been stealing them anyway.
And that, too. And I think whoever you get, you need to make sure they understand recruiting Nebraska too, because guys like that keep going to Childress and Van Horn and those kind of people. And I think you can manage recruiting without having to go too much into the Big Ten territory. You won't have to go to the Indianas, the Ohios, so far out. But you still need someone that can pick a few as they mm-hmm. go.
Well, and the thing about Childress too is, from a development standpoint, I mean, that's where he's been really good throughout his career. Mm-hmm. is getting guys to get better and then perform at a high level. From a money standpoint, let's get into this. And I mentioned Bork's the new AD. Does he bring his guy from Mississippi over? Does the guy leave Mississippi to go work for his old boss? That's a question you have if Childress were to leave. Now, the AD, Bork, immediately said, you know, A&M baseball's been the standard bearer in the SEC. They've been great. So it doesn't look like that it's an immediate issue. I know there's not been CWS trips galore. They've been to super regionals. Right now, I mean, if you're at A&M and frankly Arkansas, you're waiting on Arkansas or A&M to win the whole thing. Mm-hmm. That's your next step, right? For Nebraska baseball, you want to go to consecutive regionals, you want to get to super regionals, and then make that jump to Omaha like you've done before. How hard a job is the Nebraska baseball job now versus when they first got here? I'm interested to hear from Mitch Sherman on that. Let's hear from Bill Moose real quick. He was on the Husker Sports Network. We're lucky enough to have affiliates with Hale Varsity Radio in Columbus and Kearney. And Moose is saying the right things right now because he believes him that this is a job you should want if you're a big-time baseball coach.
I've said this all along. The University of Nebraska has a lot to offer, and this is a destination. This isn't, you don't come here to go get another job. You come here because this is the better job. We have everything in place, I think, to be extremely successful in baseball, and we'll go out and look for the very best and test the market and make a decision after that.
The best is Rob Childress. Can you get him? Is he interested? Can it all come together? And like the runner-up here is not a bad call. Now, Bill Moose wants a guy who's got head coaching experience. Will Bolt does at the JUCO level. Will Bolt's been learning under Rob Childress for years. If Rob says no, then you go to Will, I think. I mean, I think your pecking order right now is Childress and Bolt. Seeley's an assistant down there. I don't think you take from the Big Ten. Iowa and Indiana have two good coaches. I think you got to go look at a guy who was here when it got built right the first time under Van Horn as either a player slash assistant. And you have those with Seeley, with Thompson at Arkansas, and, of course, with Will Bolt and, yes, Rob Childress. Great to be with you on a Tuesday at Hale Varsity Radio. Mitch Sherman from The Athletic is next. Can Nebraska land another big fish?
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you, Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Elijah Herbal. Reminder about buckling up. Something's got to stop that motion, and airbags usually aren't enough. You want the seatbelt or windshield to stop that forward motion. Seatbelts prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and your body need to slow down in a hurry. This applies to whether you're in the driver's seat, passenger seat, or backseat. Buckle up now, click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. You can read him with The Athletic. I suggest you do so. Mitch Sherman's with us at Mitch Sherman, and he let me know on Twitter the picture I posted is not one of him. Mitch, it's a shot of Rob Childress, man. It's what's on a lot of Nebraska fans' minds. Loved your story today. How are you?
I'm good. I thought you had us confused there.
Well,
I recognized the picture, but I thought maybe you had us confused, so I wanted to be sure. But yeah, not expecting to be talk about Rob Childress here on June 4th, but as the world turns in Husker athletics, right?
So, question: we'll get into Childress and other candidates in a minute, but. And Erstad and his legacy, but did you ever have a mustache phase?
No, comes in a little too light. It's not a great look for me. Let's just say that.
Okay, moving on. That's code for okay. You fouled that one off. Okay, Darren Erstad, you've spent a lot of time with him during your career covering Nebraska baseball, and you're locked in on Coach Erstad. What's your reaction to the news late yesterday with his resignation? And is this something that you had a gut about at all?
No, not at all. And I haven't spent a lot of time around him in recent years. Mm-hmm. I did, you know, many years ago, and I feel like I know Darren. I certainly know what he's, you know, what defines him and what his characteristics are. And I think I know how he set about coach that team and do his job, and I think that starts to get at the heart of his decision yesterday is that he had some priorities in his life that conflicted with his ability to be able to go out and give this team everything that he had. I mean, it's a 350 day a year, if not more, job to be a Division I baseball coach. And I mean, Bill Moose said it last month. This is not something that Darren Erstad needs to do. He does it for his love for the university. And you know, I think the one thing that he has more love for than the university is his family and his kids. And he wants to be able to see them grow up, which I don't believe. I 100% believe everything that he said yesterday. I don't think there was any, any sugarcoating. I don't think that was dressed up in any way. I think it came as a surprise, or if not a complete surprise, it came as a disappointment to Bill Moose. And, Darren fully made this decision for the reasons that he said. Mm-hmm. And if you step back and you look at it, knowing the characteristics that define him and what makes him who he is and has been, since he first set foot on campus in the early 90s as a kid from North Dakota, it does make some sense that at age 45, that he wants to take a rest and enjoy the things that are important to him in his personal life.
Mitch Sherman's with us, The Athletic, Hail Varsity Radio, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, let's go to the pool of candidates, and there's a lot of names that are out there. Will Bolt's one of my favorites. Obviously, guys with Coach Van Horn coaching tree ties. Let's focus on Rob Childress. What's the biggest roadblock for Nebraska with Childress? And is this doable? I didn't think Fred Hoiberg was doable, and it happened. The Moose gets who he wants. What's your take on the likelihood, the reality of a Childress possibility?
Yeah, that's probably more of a long shot than Fred Hoiberg ever was. And I hesitate to call him a candidate because, he has a job at a program that's on a level different from Nebraska. The biggest obstacle is that he's the Texas A&M head coach and very successful at that. He's been to regionals in 13 straight years. He's made two College World Series trips. And really the only thing that I could see now, he has a lot of love for the state of Nebraska. There's no doubt about that. Rob spends time here, a lot of time here, at points in his life since he went to College Station as coach in 2005. His daughter attended school at Nebraska. He has kept a relationship with high school coaches in the state and strengthened those relationships in some cases as he's continued to recruit players from the state of Nebraska. He made lifelong friendships in his time in Lincoln that continue to be important to him today. So all of that, I think, makes Nebraska an interesting case, but it's not enough to bring him to Lincoln as the coach. That would need some circumstances at Texas A&M that I'm just not privy to. Now, they have a new athletic director, Ross Bjork, who just came within the last couple of weeks from Ole Miss. And we need to find out, or Rob needs to find out, not we, but Rob needs to find out what his commitment is to that current regime coaching that baseball team. And he's got a fairly short amount of time left on his contract in comparison to coaches at major programs like Texas A&M, signed through the 2021 season, according to reports out of Texas that say he signed an extension in 2016 to put him through 2021. And Texas A&M needs to decide on its commitment beyond that to him. And if they are wavering, I think that would be something that could potentially impact his decision about what he wants to do in the future. So that's the wild card in this. How committed is Texas A&M to him and his coaching staff going forward? They're a school that has high expectations in all of their sports, like Nebraska. And I would say, in this era where Texas A&M has hired Jimbo Fisher and Buzz Williams, where are they at with their baseball program and their commitment to him? So that's something that he needs to determine.
Well, and you'd get knocked out of a regional 2 days ago. Do you go in with your new AD who's 2 weeks on the job and just have that chat? Because don't you think that Moose is probably going to make a phone call just to kick some tires to Childress?
Yeah, I think so. I would expect that based on the way that he attacks these situations. He's gonna swing big, and if he doesn't hit that home run again, you know, maybe it leads to some knowledge that helps him find the right guy for this job. And maybe that's somebody who's on Rob Childress's staff right now. He's got three ex-Huskers on his staff. And, you know, I don't see Jeff Christie, the volunteer coach, as a candidate for Nebraska, but Will Bolt and Justin Seeley, they are, if Bill Moos decides he wants to go that route and hire an assistant coach. If he's set on hiring someone who's currently a Power 5 or a Division 1 head coach, then those guys, you know, they don't fit that. But I don't know that it's best for Bill right now to eliminate those guys as possibilities because of what they potentially could offer this program. Maybe he ends up going somewhere else. I'd say the likelihood is that the guy who ends up getting this job is going to be someone we're not discussing right now, is going to be someone who is a current head coach. And, you know, Bill Moos over the next few days and weeks learns or already knows about this coach. And, you know, that person emerges here soon. Maybe it'll be someone we're talking about, but generally in these situations, you know, it's more likely to be someone who comes out of the shadows.
Mitch, got a couple of minutes left. Mitch Sherman with The Athletic. We're talking the Nebraska baseball opening, AL Varsity Radio, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter is where you follow Mitch. I mean, I think the fan base likes Childress, loves Bolt. They like both of those guys, obviously. Who are some head coaches that you think could fit for Nebraska? Who are some names your ears are perked up for?
Well, Nebraska people may not love to hear that Rick Heller at Iowa would be a pretty good person to tab, but the job that he has done there and at Northern Iowa before that, I think it's worth noticing if you're not so concerned about ties to this program and you just want to find somebody who knows how to win in this climate, who knows how to recruit in this northern environment, who's familiar with the Big Ten. You know, I think you look there. I think you look to you know your rival school in the within the league. I think the coach at Central Michigan, they won 46 games this year. Another guy with ties to the northern part of the country who's going to know what it takes to recruit in to a place like Nebraska, or at least have a sense of it. You know, those are the kind of coaches. I don't think you go just trolling around the SEC and the ACC unless you know you've got somebody like a Childress who you think you can get on the line. I do think that maybe that's the one of the most important things to find with this hire is somebody who has a sense of what it's going to be like to coach in the Big Ten and recruit in the Big Ten.
Mitch, about 30 seconds or so. Is the Big Ten just too big a roadblock for warmer weather coaches?
Well, not everybody. I think for a lot of guys it would be, yeah. But, no, it's a tough league to be a baseball coach in. It's getting better.
Yeah.
You know, I think what Darren Erstad did with his scheduling philosophy can be a guide for not just the next coach at Nebraska, but for other coaches in the Big Ten. And Nebraska made it into the NCAA tournament without sweating too much toward the end, or at least in the last couple of weeks, because of that non-conference schedule. And I think you can have a mentality like that at Nebraska. It's not that way, of course, for Nebraska basketball and Nebraska football. You know, they are not a program that can operate under that, hey, we'll go anywhere, anytime, and play you, and don't worry about a return visit. That's not the MO for other programs, but I think you have to do that in baseball. And you have to say, all right, we'll go to Arizona for a couple weeks in February, or we'll go into the SEC, we'll go to Florida, we'll go to, you know, we'll go play in Texas or wherever it is, and get your guys toughened up. You know, almost be like a renegade program. You see these kind of things in college basketball, where a program from a mid-major school makes its mark on the map because they just say, we don't care. We'll go play anybody whenever they want us. And in the Big Ten, at least right now, I think that might be the best way to turn yourself into the kind of program that I know Nebraska wants to be.
Mitch, thanks for the time today, bud. Great stuff.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Take care.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Good stuff from Mitch Sherman. We'll have that posted on ESPN. Link in the In Demand. We'll get some of those nuggets tweeted out as well on the ESPN Lincoln Twitter handle. Jabba Chamberlain, his thoughts on Rob Childress. If that's something that can become a reality for Nebraska baseball, where are you at as a Husker baseball fan? Yes, you go try and get Childress. Do you think it can happen? 466-377-6800-825-5865. Or let's go down the list in the top drawer, per se, right? Who else you interested in? And Mitch was like, you know, we're talking about names, but a lot of times the names we're talking about isn't the name that ends up being the next head coach. And if you don't get Childress, I think you got to go Bolt. And if you don't get Bolt, Moose really doesn't historically here at Nebraska have to move on to choice two, let alone choice three. Mm-hmm. Now, there's feelers out there for people. But, man, how big of an ordeal is it? And back to the Big Ten, that's probably – you've got a really good job right now if you're Coach Childress. That said, Mitch made a money point where you got a new AD. And from an extension standpoint, what type of extension do you give Rob Childress, or do you bring your guy in from Ole Miss – where you just left to take over the A&M program?
Yeah. It's a situation where, new coach or new AD, new coaches is generally kind of what happens. Mm-hmm. Not everywhere. Obviously, Moose was ready to give everybody a shot. Mm-hmm. And I think that's always fair. And with Rob Childress, it wouldn't be so much giving him a shot. It's just letting him finish out what he has. And I think he's signed through 2021, so he still has 2 years on his contract anyways. But you look at Bianco at Ole Miss, he makes a little more than Childress does.
Yeah.
And Ole Miss is a great baseball program too. So what do you do? You
know? Also in the West.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be crazy.
I mean, it's the SEC Invitational a lot of times for super regionals. Yeah. And you're playing best out of three against teams you've already hooked up with. Let's talk some college football. Jabba Chamberlain is 20 minutes away. Bill Dolman coming up. We'll talk with the Pride of Fairbury at NBC Sports. Get Bill's take on some names to listen for the head coaching opening at Nebraska baseball. Also his take on Erstad. Bill covered Coach Erstad when he was a kicker/punter at Nebraska. Also covered him when Nebraska was doing some games on blustery April days, March days at the Buck. Bill Dolman was hairspraying that thing down, and him and his closest buddies there at the Buck Belts are watching Erstad go yard. So games to beware of for each top 25 team, this per ESPN.com. And you look at Clemson here. We'll get to Nebraska's game to beware of, but this is very fair. Syracuse has been a thorn in the side of Clemson. Mm-hmm. Syracuse coulda, shoulda, woulda won last year. It was close. Mm-hmm. And it came down to the fourth quarter against Clemson. They won on a Friday night fluke game 2 years ago at the Carrier Dome. And Syracuse has probably played Clemson the toughest, aside from the Lamar Jackson and Louisville Cardinals. I mean, Syracuse has just been one of those teams that has stunned Clemson once and almost got them on the road. Clemson was a really good football team a year ago, but that was their escape. Alabama's at South Carolina in week two. South Carolina, if memory serves, is probably the last SEC East team to beat Alabama. Spurrier's second year, and I shouldn't say, might have been Saban's second or third year. There was a year that, God forbid, Saban went 10-3 one year. right? It was the year that Nebraska played South Carolina close, I think in the Outback Bowl.
Or Gator.
Might have been Gator. It was Fonzie v. Alshon Jeffrey at halftime.
Yep.
There was a slight reach advantage for Alshon Jeffrey. So you got Bama and South Carolina. That's their beware of game. Georgia's at Tennessee. That is October 5th. Baylor's been interesting, to say the least, with Oklahoma. Notre Dame's at Georgia. That's bad. Wisconsin's is hosting Michigan. So Michigan's beware game is at Wisconsin. Texas is hosting LSU. That's very fair. A&M's at Clemson, and Maryland hosts Penn State. Central Florida's got to head to Stanford this year. Actually, they host Stanford, but that's buyer beware. And you also have Oregon on this list about three times. Oregon's schedule is pretty difficult. How does this grab you as a Nebraska football fan? Nebraska's be aware game, their watch out, is Indiana. Huskers are going to be emerging from a season-defining stretch. And we spent some time on this. How are your games stacked? How are they logged? And at the end of September, you're going to have Ohio State. Then you get Northwestern. And then you're at Minnesota. And then here comes Indiana. You got Purdue and Wisconsin at home. Nebraska's going to be good under Scott Frost in year two, says Adam Rittenberg. But is Nebraska, like so many teams in 2019-2020, are you prone to overlook? Are you focused every game in and out? You want to say you are, but that ain't reality, especially if you get too big ahead and this is success, frankly, you've never tasted. This program hasn't tasted high-level success where you're off to the world's patting us on the back type start. You have to go back to what was it, 2016, where Nebraska was ranked in the top seven, and you have that overtime loss at Wisconsin. And then you want to forget what happened at Ohio State on national TV. That was a crime that was committed. So, you know, Indiana is one of those teams. October 26, before you get into November, you've got a monumental stretch where you can do pretty good work against your rugged crossover with Ohio State. Northwestern and Minnesota, that's a home-road split, and you're getting geared up for Purdue and Wisconsin. And then you sneak in Indiana. And Indiana, man, under the gym teacher, that's what I'm going to call him, Coach Allen, glasses, whistle, clipboard, comb-over. And the guy is Indiana playing great defense year in, year out. Their offense is still pretty explosive. They've got athletes. Scales is no longer there, but he was a good linebacker. They had the Cobb slot guy that was just a beast. They found a quarterback. They've had running backs. Got to be on your toes that game. I think that's fair. That's, you know, Purdue's supposed to be in contention. Northwestern's supposed to be. Everybody that you play in the West, aside from Illinois, is supposed to be in contention. Maryland's a road game. Indiana at home shouldn't be a problem, but it could be. I agree with Indiana.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a situation where it's too big of a stretch, and then you overlook them.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
10 minutes away, Jabba Chamberlain going to be with us, and we'll talk with Bill Dolman, Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Elijah Herbal. Give us a follow on Twitter at Schmidt_radio, at 2Birds1Stone for Colton Stone, and at Herbal Essence for Elijah Herbal. This in from our media partner, 1011, Husker running back Maurice Washington, cited for possession of drug paraphernalia. Here's how it reads. Husker back Maurice Washington cited by the University of Nebraska police on Tuesday morning for possession of drug paraphernalia. UNLPD said they were called to the university suites. That's located at 1780 R Street early Tuesday morning on a strong smell of marijuana. The address where the citation took place is also the same address listed for Washington on court documents in another case. UNLPD said it was Washington's dorm room. Officers were called to. Washington cited with possession or use of drug paraphernalia after an officer found a pipe with marijuana residue, but no marijuana was found. The University of Nebraska Athletic Department's released the following statement. We're aware of the situation and addressing it. Washington also currently facing charges out of California under the state's revenge porn law, as well as possession of child pornography. Washington slated to be back in court in California on June 12th. So, listen, here's going to be where I lose my mind if I'm Scott Frost. Okay. You've got this mess with the revenge porn thing. You have stuck with this kid to get him eligible and into Nebraska, okay, with being early and supportive of him. And you know what type of player he can be. You know what type of talent and asset he can be from a matchup. You know what type of player you have with athletic ability and a guy that's gold for 25 touches, not necessarily carries a game, but he can be a game changer for you. But just from a common sense decision-making standpoint, be it what's going on with California and the revenge porn stuff, innocent till proven guilty completely is where I'm at. But with the marijuana stuff, and listen, man, kids do weed. They do. College kids do weed. High school kids do weed. Is it okay? No. Is it a choice you make when you get a certain age? That's how you want to recreate? More and more kids are doing it. Is it legal in different states in the country? Yes. Is it recreationally legal? More and more states are saying yes to it. It isn't legal here. And if it is not legal here, you're rolling the dice. Just like the same of getting popped at a party with an open container when you're not 21. You may disagree with it. You think you may be mature enough to handle it. Fact is, if you get nailed by the police, and so be it. Somebody said, my God, we got a Bob Marley show going on down the hall, and made a phone call. That's what happened.
I mean, I don't blame them either, to be honest, because I've lived in enough like dorms and houses where it's like you just want to like relax when you get there, and it's like, really? Like, this is what we're going to do inside. It's like, at least go somewhere where I don't have to deal with it. That's my personal.
Some guy a floor above us had his own freaking grow house back in the late 90s. And to avoid the police, he tied 7 bed sheets together and went MacGyver down the side of Abel. I kid you not.
I believe it.
He got fined for opening the door, the windows. He got kicked out for that, but they didn't bust him with possession. Jabba Chamberlain's on the way with Hail Varsity.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back to you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's get caught up with a Husker baseball standout, a World Series champion. Loves the Husker program, Jabba Chamberlain joining us on the show. Jabba, it's been a while. How are things with you, man?
Good, just chasing a teenager around and trying not to get too many gray hairs, as we all know as parents that sometimes that happens, but other than that, man, just enjoying time and being home and being a dad and just enjoying everything that comes along with it.
That's kind of the theme, isn't it, being a dad? And you were where when you heard the Darren Erstad news?
Actually, was just sitting at my bar and literally had a buddy was like, holy crap, Darren just stepped down, and kind of was taken back. I really, the position that they were in this year was kind of obviously one of where we wanted to be, and then kind of to see where it was going to go from there with all the young talent that we have, and then to see it happen. I mean, it was interesting to say the least.
It was, and this team really surged, Jabba. You look at the Michigan series, the Arizona State series, right there against Ohio State, and of course, an out away against Oklahoma State down at Bricktown, a ballpark you know well and performed well at with your trips for the Huskers and the Big 12. And what's your reaction to what Darren did, stepping down to be with his kids? And my little guy is, I don't think, too much younger than your little guy, and there's been some crossover with the Erstad family as far as playing youth sports. So he's a proud papa, man. We all are watching our kids, and I commend him for it, but he's also such a competitor, man. It was just out of nowhere. It was a bombshell.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at it through 8 years and all the things that he's done, you know, had a long career in the big leagues, and it's just, I mean, sometimes you make decisions, whether it's maybe not the easiest thing to do, but it's the best thing to do. And, you know, obviously you're not going to truly understand, but at the same time, if that's what he says is it's been, like, you got to respect for the things that he's done and the fact that he understands that he's missed a lot of time and been gone for a lot of things, and that he just wants to be there and be a father. And he doesn't have anything else to prove here. I mean, he's a stand-up man. He's a great coach. He's a great human being. And it's just, for us as fans of the program and people that are valued to it, it's just, it's tough because we're losing a good one. And it's kind of the fear of the unknown of what's going to happen, which I think is what makes people, you know, semi-skeptical about what's going on. But it's just, we're losing a great human, a great coach, I mean, a great competitor. And it's just tough.
Jabba Chamberlain's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Jabba, what was clicking with your time at Nebraska? What was kind of the common bond that took teams from, okay, the late 90s, early 2000 Van Horn era to the transition with Anderson and Childress, where you guys not only maintained but thrived and kept that train a rolling? And that's, you know the Nebraska fan base, man, you love them. That said, the expectations are sky high. Let's do that every year. Well, it's not easy to get to Omaha, you know. So how were you guys able to do what you did?
I think it was just the guys we had. I mean, you look at that group, and the main core was kids from Nebraska, with kids from Lincoln, Omaha, Grand Island. And I think that was just that's a huge part of what that program was. I mean, obviously you have people at the helm that are great leaders and teachers of the game. We have unbelievable coaching staff. But I think it was just, we bought into what they were teaching, and we understood that they expect a lot from us. Not only did they expect a lot on the field, they expected a lot off the field. And I think it just carried over into every facet of what we did. And I mean, you look at it, at the end of the year, we had 52 wins or something like that. And granted, we didn't finish where we wanted to, but that's a lot of wins. And it was fun, it was interesting, and we had a blast together. But I think it was just the understanding of what was expected. And they expected a lot from us, and we expected a lot from ourselves. And there was never finger pointing. There was nothing, because we knew that we had the guy behind us and next to us to either execute a pitch, get us an out, drive a guy over. And I think that was just a part of what we took through and through in everything that we did.
What do you think Nebraska baseball needs to be in 2019, in 2020? In the Big Ten?
I mean, obviously, we should be a powerhouse. I feel like that's, you know, what we can be, where we've been before. But at the same time, it's a big step, obviously, now, because we're empty at the head of the train. And just to get, I mean, with so many guys that we have that are talented, they've got a taste of winning, which I think, as a competitor, and those kids have that taste, I think they want to go even further. They want to be even better than they are. So it's bringing in somebody that understands these kids. And first and foremost is that conversation needs to happen with these kids and understand, it's like, hey, I'm here for you guys. This is what needs to be done. You let me know what I need to do, and let's get this train going, and let's get back to where this program needs to be.
Let's spend some time on Coach Rob Childress. And he is fantastic. He's been fantastic at A&M. He was amazing at Nebraska. Talk to me about the development aspect to him, how he can get the best out of kids. And I don't know if his name is realistic or not. I'll get to that with you in a minute. But just from a coaching and a development standpoint, he was incredible.
I mean, I would hope it's realistic, but that's just me being biased to what Rod has done for me. And
yeah,
And Rob's biggest thing for me, honestly, was I was a kid that didn't pitch a lot. I didn't really know what I was doing. And he understood that. And I think his greatest treasure as a coach was understanding each player and what we needed. And it was a thing where all he asked us to do was to go out and compete. And I think, honestly, I maybe worked specifically on my mechanics one time during the year, just because I wasn't a huge mechanics guy, and he knew that. And the understanding of what he did, and as I look back, is just, he just taught me to, it didn't matter if you had your best stuff, if you had your worst stuff, if you go out and give everything that you got, you're going to be successful. And I just, his demeanor was awesome. He expected a lot from us, and all he did was expect us to work hard. Like, I don't care how much talent you have, whether you have a talent in your pinky finger or you're incredibly talented, it doesn't take much to work hard. And I think that's the thing that I will always take from him and every aspect of my life, and understanding that it doesn't take much to work hard. And it made me the pitcher I was, and obviously I was fortunate enough to do it at the highest level, and he definitely has a lot to do with that.
A mindset and a standard, and he laid it out there for you. With Coach Childress, I don't have an official number what he's making at A&M. I know Will Bolt's down there, and Will's a guy that gets Nebraska, was not long ago on staff at Nebraska. Seeley's a name you hear. There's other power programs or really good programs that may be in some non-Power 5 leagues. So, I mean, there's a laundry list of names out there for the Nebraska job, and Bill Moose is 2-for-2 on hires. What are your thoughts on Childress here? And I'm not asking you to speak for him, but I'm just kind of trying to gauge your take, knowing the man, on would a guy like Childress leave an A&M for a little bit more cake and back to a place he helped build?
That's a super loaded question, and would I love to answer for him 100%.
Why don't you go ahead and be Coach Childress for 2 minutes here, Jabba?
Right. All right. Well, here we go. Then I would sign and leave today. it's something you've obviously seen what he's done at A&M. You've seen the tradition that he's built there, and obviously being a guy from Texas is something special to him. I mean, obviously everybody that knows, you know, what he stands for as a family man and everything that he has. Obviously his daughter graduated from Nebraska and, you know, certain things like that. And like I said, I'm biased and I would love to answer for him, and I would love to have him here. I just think there's so many things that point in the right direction to bring him back. And like you said, we don't really know his number or what that is. And as we've seen what Moose has done is he's hired guys that are right for this program. And I think in that aspect, I think he's going to look in a direction that makes the most sense for our entire athletic program. And we've seen what he's done in obviously in the two major signings and Scott and Fred, and just understanding what it means to the fan base, what it means to this state, what it means to the program. It's something where, you know, we try and see what happens and go from there. And if that's not the direction that Rob wants to go, then, you know what, we look in a different direction. But I think it's something that needs to be addressed in the aspect of knowing what Nebraska wants, knowing what Nebraska needs, and know how much this state and the people care for this program and want to see them at the highest level that we can be.
Will Bolt, did you have any crossover with him at all?
A little bit, obviously, as a fan watching him play, and
right,
a grinder and understanding the game. And he's one of those guys that, you know, worked hard at his craft and obviously has become a great aspect of the coaching world. And that's obviously another direction you go to where he understands the tradition of what it is. And it's another point of interest where, you know, we have to take all things in capacity of what sense of direction do we want to go? Where do they want to go and go from there? And I mean, I just think there's a lot of certain candidates that obviously you read the Twitter and you read all the other stuff, so you kind of see some names and understand that, you know, there's obviously interest in what we do. So it'll be a compelling topic of conversation here for a while.
Well, and I don't know the timeline as to when you can go get it done. Is a week from today? Are we having a press conference with the new baseball coach? Is it Thursday? Is it? I mean, A&M got eliminated. You nailed it. I mean, Coach Childress is a Texas guy, and Will Bolt's a Texas guy, and they've got a big piece of their life in Nebraska. Do they leave what they've got? Is 12, 13 years at A&M for Childress enough? I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's more of a wish versus a reality right now with either of those guys, the end being the fact that they've bled for the program for a number of years up here.
And I mean, I think you're right. It's a big part of what they have done in their career, but at the same time, it's what's best for them and their family as well. I mean, there's so much that goes into this that some people forget sometimes, where, you know, you're literally moving your family and you're changing the dynamic of your wife and the kids and the school and just your comfort. I mean, it's, yes, it can be a place where it's been a part of you, but at the same time, it's been a number of years where that changes. And that comes a question when they sit down and whoever the candidate is, you know, is this place worth it? And I mean, me speaking personally, 100%. I mean, it's a special program. It's a special place. It's a bond where everybody roots for everybody. I don't care if you're the swimming team, the soccer team, the softball team, whatever it is. You know, it's just kind of a place where we cheer for everybody because that's what we rely on and that's what we love. And, you know, we bleed red here. And, you know, when you say you're from Nebraska, it holds a special tie. And I think that title comes as a head coach that I don't think the guys that we're going to talk to are going to take lightly and understand what that means.
Jabba Chamberlain with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Jabba, I'll let you get out of here, but I've always wanted to ask you this. And I remember watching the Nebraska-Texas game at a tavern, and it's the final kind of drumbeat of the Callahan era, and Nebraska's annihilating Texas. You're on the sideline with Roger Clemens. Nebraska's rolling. ABC catches you on the sideline, and you, like the rest of Nebraska fans, are smiling because it's going well. The fourth quarter with Jamal Charles did not go well. Did you have a side wager with Rocket? I mean, sometimes guys from different programs bet. If not, no worries. But I got to ask, man. I've always wanted – and you got McConaughey there going, all right, all right, all right, behind you guys. I mean, that's a moment I've always wanted. You're a big football fan. Didn't go Nebraska's way that day. But how much guff did you give each other through that thing?
Oh, well, it was great for the first three quarters.
No kidding, it was.
It was awesome. And remember going down there, and that was the first time I met Matthew. And so we're walking the sidelines doing whatever. And, you know, obviously it's a friendly wager bet of, you know, who's buying dinner tonight, right, or whatever. Obviously I lost the bet, but Roger still didn't let me buy dinner. So I guess I still won in the end of the day.
That's pretty good. Well, good for Roger. Good for Roger.
Right.
Well, man, that one was tough to take, but I had to ask, man, because they were sweating for three quarters.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was a fun day, and just the, I mean, the atmosphere and going down there, and obviously, you know, just being in that realm of Texas, and obviously the battles that we had in baseball, we kind of
right.
We built some rivalry there. But I'd never been to a game down there, and holy cow, it was Memorial Stadium, I'll tell you that much, but it was pretty close. And to see all the Nebraska fans there, it was fun. And obviously getting a walk with Roger and talk some crap for a little bit was pretty interesting for me, too.
Well, and I'll tell you this, my time down in Austin was 99, very painful game. But Texas still has some of the most beautiful people on earth. We'll leave it there. So.
Yes, I won't disagree on that one.
Jabba Chamberlain. Jabba, we'll do this again, man. It was fun to catch up. Thanks for the time today.
Man, you got it, buddy. Anytime.
And now, back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Elijah Erbel producing today. We head west to Denver and welcoming NBC Sports' Bill Dolman, the pride of Fairbury. Billy D, crazy times with Nebraska and Darren Erstad stepping down. You've done a lot of college baseball the last several years. I want your short list of candidates in case Bill Moose is listening. Before we do that, though, let's talk Maurice Washington, cited for drug paraphernalia by UNLPD. Was the mistake with this not going the edible route?
I was going to say, the mistake was not stopping at the Colorado border, driving back from California. You know, come out here and you're probably hailed as a hero and they'll throw a parade for you. And although I have no idea what they do with the money that they make off the stuff, but nevertheless, I'm sure that whatever he did there would not be frowned upon here.
Put yourself in Scott Frost's shoes. I mean, you've got this California trial investigation going on. You had a promising freshman year. You've killed yourself to get this kid to Nebraska. You've stuck by him. Home life and backdrop clearly not great for him, and he's found a way to enroll at Nebraska through some hard work, and he had to earn it, you know, to get in. And if you're Scott Frost, man, are you at your last straw right now?
I'm not sure if it's your last one, but I think you can probably see the straws on the table. And at some point, you have to, if you're Scott Frost, you have to draw a line in the AstroTurf. Is it time for them to part ways? I don't know. But I think at this point, you certainly say, I don't think it's in your best interest or our interest right now for you to play football in 2019. At some point you can give second chances, I think. And, you know, given the thing that's going on out there in California, that obviously predates what was going on at Nebraska. But this latest incident over the last couple of hours, as it has come up, I think Scott has to say, look, we did all this to get you here. We do want you here. But at some point, Maurice Washington has to, you know, come to the table, hat in hand, helmet in hand, and say, you know, thank you for all you've done for me. I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry for the position I put you in. And that's to show some respect for his coaches and for the program and for the people, because he's at one of the premier programs in the country. He's been given an unbelievable opportunity. And a lot of people made that happen for him. And I think at some point he's just got to say, you know what, I need to get my life in order, and maybe it is best if I just don't play. Do you kick him to the curb? I know a lot of people want to do that. Good Lord, I'm seeing stuff on social media already, and I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, I just don't think it's in the best interest of Nebraska to have him play football this year.
There's a difference between not playing in 19 and just being done with him completely. And
I can understand if they said, look, we've done a lot to get you here. You've not responded. You've not respected the effort. You've not respected the opportunity. And I could see where they would say, you know what, this is just not working out. We'll do what we can to help you find a new place to play. certainly 30 miles from me, like I said earlier, they probably welcome that.
Mm-hmm.
But I would completely understand if Scott said, it's just not working out. We did all we could for you. You've not responded and respected, so it's time to part ways. But I think what's best for that kid, given all that's transpired over the last, 6 months,
mm-hmm.
Well, even through football season last year where the thing was percolating, but brought to the forefront after the season, through spring ball, the trips to California, the missing spring ball, all of that kind of stuff. How distracted is he going to be during the summer workouts at Memorial Stadium with his teammates? I think it's either you don't play next year and you get your life in order, or you don't play here anymore. And either one I could accept. But I'm not sure that I could stomach them just saying, we'll overlook it and welcome back. I don't think that's probably appropriate at this point. But Scott's in charge.
Bill Dolman's with us, Hale Varsity Radio, NBC Sports, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Bill, your thoughts on Darren Erstad, the coach, the man, you've covered him. your thoughts on where Bill Moose can go if it's not a Childress or a Bolt or a guy with Dave Van Horn ties.
Well, I find that funny when people bring up, you know, we got to find a Dave, you know, somebody like Dave Van Horn. I remember when Dave Van Horn got hired, I was still at Husker Bears in Nebraska, and there was a collective, I mean collective, who?
And then you went, oh.
No, the only, I mean, I think I was the first guy other than Bill Byrne, you know, to talk to Dave Van Horn when he got to Lincoln, because we immediately did an interview with him at Husker Vision and put him on, you know, but we were all like, who is this guy? Where the hell is Northwestern State? You know? But we did an interview with him at Husker Vision. He was a young guy. He was eager, you know, and he was pretty sharp. Mm-hmm. But nobody other than Bill Byrne knew who Dave Van Horn was. And any Husker fan back then or to this day, so, oh, yeah, I remember when we hired, I remembered he was, that's not the case. Nobody knew who Dave Van Horn was. So here's a couple of my thoughts. First of all, on Darren Erstad, I'm very happy for him. He's clearly earned, after what he's done throughout the course of his baseball career, to be able to make the kind of move that he made. Look, he made, what, $50 million in professional baseball. Was one of the greatest competitors of our generation. He may not get into the Hall of Fame, but throughout his career, which was, what, 14 years of Major League Baseball, he always had the ultimate and utmost respect from everybody that he played against and every commentator, every announcer, everybody, that nobody competed harder and took the game more serious than Darren Erstad. And that was always a great badge of honor for people from Nebraska because we got that. And Darren certainly conducted his business in baseball the absolute right way, the way the game should be played. Unlike today, where we debate whether grown men should be able to throw their bats in the air. Mm-hmm. That's what baseball has come to. Darren didn't play that way. He honored Nebraska. He honored himself. He honored Jamestown, North Dakota. And he was a terrific professional player. He was a great baseball coach for Nebraska. He's earned the right to say, I don't want to do this anymore. I firmly believe, and I've talked to Darren Erstad since he was in college probably, that he is making the move for exactly the reason that he said, to spend time with his wonderful wife, Jessica, and with his kids. And I believe, and I said this to you yesterday, I think that the next time you see Darren Erstad coaching baseball, he'll be coaching some high school program in Lincoln. Mm. I think, and it could be a small school where they, you know, around the area where they say, hey, let's have a baseball program. I could see the Darren Erstad's next move in baseball coaching high school baseball and then having to deal with all the parents in the stands who think they know better. But that's exactly what I could see him doing. I think this is totally a family move. I think we should all respect it. I think we should honor it, and I think we should believe it. And any thought that Big Red Booger 69 on the internet or Husker Honey 42, you know, had any impact on him getting pushed out the door certainly doesn't know anything about who Darren Erstad is as a competitor.
Big Red Booger for the win.
That would be most of them, by the way. And Husker Honey would be spelled with a U, and it's probably a guy anyway, but go ahead.
So where, if Bill Moose gets a no thanks from Rob Childress, I mean, you got to make that phone call, obviously. I think there might be too many roadblocks to spring him from A&M. That said,
well, money be here's you got a
new AD is what I'm saying. That's come over from Ole Miss.
Have they been rebuffed by Rob Childress? I don't know this.
I don't know. I don't know that he's been reached out to. I just know his contract's up in 2021. If you're the new AD, you got to make a commitment to Rob Childress, don't you think?
Probably. Yeah, absolutely. And new ADs always want to make the move and bring in their own people. And look, I spent a lot of time down in Texas. I've been around that program before, and it is, if you're not from there, it's an acquired taste. And over time, it can be a place where you're going, you know what, I've done all I can do here, and it's time to go do something different. Now, if it's going to get it, Nebraska is not going to get into a bidding war with Texas A&M. That's just not going to happen. But, sure, do you make that call? Absolutely. Why not? I would think if you're Bill Moose, and given the track record that you have and the respect that you have as an athletic director, you can make a call to anybody. You know, I think he puts them out there on the table and says, you know, I'm Bill Moose. I'm the AD of Nebraska, and I don't care where you are, what conference you're in. I believe in the product I have to sell you on, and I'm not afraid to go after anybody. And once they start turning you down, now it's got to be the right person, the right fit, all that kind of stuff. But I think Bill Moose has proven that he's not afraid of anybody, which I think is great. Now, I will say this. This still goes back to Tom Osborne, okay? Because, yes, Tom put Darren in place. Did Darren do everything that, you know, we wanted him to? Maybe not. But he certainly has the program in a better place than it was. But getting Nebraska into the Big Ten continues to pay unbelievable dividends with a dollar sign at the end. Nebraska got, what, $54, $57 million this year by moving to the Big Ten? I'm telling you, that move, those secret meetings, however many years ago, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, I don't remember now.
10.
Those meetings when Missouri was saber-rattling and Tom saw the landscape of what's going on in collegiate athletics and said, we need to get into that conference and get that slice of the pie, was still a stroke of genius that continues to pay off for Nebraska, that Bill Moose can go after people with a big, fat checkbook.
Agreed. That Big Ten river of cash has not hurt Nebraska with Scott Frost, with buyouts to past coaches, and with getting the mayor. Bill, I've got about a minute left. I want to keep you on and take you over to the next segment if you've got the time, if there's not any brownies to tend to out in...
I got the Hallmark Channel DVR, so I got all the time you need.
I love it. I want you to get into some names with me, though, specifically guys from the Big 12, and let's investigate just the Big 10 reputation. I mean, Bill Moose wants to go get a coach that has head coaching experience. I don't know that you cross Will Bolt's name off the list. I know he coached JUCO, but if Rob's not a yes, I think Will Bolt's a guy you really got to look at. That's obvious. He's coached in the Big Ten under Erstad. Is he ready? You never know, right? But he's pretty big time. I want some thoughts on what's the climate like in Big 12 play right now with some schools, and also some SEC thoughts, just what the roadblock is for Moose. And hang on for me. Hail Varsity Radio continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
More thoughts. Bill Dolman back with us. Colton Stone is busy researching. Elijah Herbal is not spilling on the board as he's training. Chris Schmidt, Hail Varsity Radio. The pride of Fairbury is Bill Dolman, NBC Sports. We're talking baseball coaching carousel, specifically with Nebraska, the opening, and Bill Moose at Bill Dolman on Twitter. So, Bill, we left off with the question I've kind of had today is, you know, what's the biggest roadblock for Bill Moose? It's not checkbook. It's not that you can't win at Nebraska, you have. It's not even facilities. It might be the weather and the league you play in, and you're out, that's out of your control, specifically the weather. I mean, how appealing is a Big Ten, i.e. Nebraska, job to potential candidates, in your opinion?
Well, I think with any sport, it still comes down to the university, the atmosphere, and the leadership. And you're going to want to work for an athletic director that's going to support you. You're going to want to work at a place where people care and where you have facilities and you have the resources to compete. Now, Nebraska checks all that off. If you're afraid of the weather, okay, well, then stay down south. If you're not, then you've got an opportunity to do, you know, something pretty special. The Big Ten is not the toughest baseball conference in the country, so you have a chance to win. But I think you probably have coaches who are, you know, going to sell themselves to Moose saying, I'm not afraid of the weather. I just did the Big 12 tournament 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And even then it's brought up to me like, you know, how long, what's there, you know, this is even before Darren, you know, resigns. Like, you know, what's the feeling up there? You know, how long is he going to keep the gig? You know, it's the weather. You know, you got to have somebody that, you know, that's just the thought that goes through people's minds when it comes to any place north of Oklahoma is the weather. And I don't think a lot of baseball coaches necessarily feel that way. I think they're probably looking more at how deep is the recruiting pool around you. And is it deep in, you know, is the baseball pool deep around the Midwest? Probably not. Probably less than it is for basketball, and certainly less, you know, rich than it is for football. But you can still win there if you get guys who want to play. And Nebraska has proven that in the past, getting to the College World Series.
They have, and Childress was a big part of that. He still raids Nebraska from time to time to bring kids down to A&M. Big 12, who are some names from the Big 12 that is there anybody that's ripe right now, potentially, that's looking to move?
It's probably more so, I would think, like a high-level assistant. And I'm just going to throw this as for an example and not as a candidate. But a guy like Rob Walton, who's the pitching coach, assistant coach at Oklahoma State. He and Josh Holliday function very much in the same way that Gary Ward and Tom Holliday did for many years when they were building that program up through the 80s and the 90s. And Rob has like 13 years of experience as a former head coach at Oral Roberts. And he's been with Josh every day that he's been the head coach at Oklahoma State. And Josh gives him complete authority over his recruits and over his pitching staff and all of that. You know, so there's got to be somebody like that. That I think if you're Bill Moose and you're saying, okay, who's an assistant that has head coaching experience? That Rob Walton fits that to a T. Again, I'm only using that as an example, although that would be a pretty good place to turn. But that's the kind of person. You know, Randy Mazey has done an amazing job at West Virginia. That place is isolated. He's got a new stadium. They filled it. They had a gut-wrenching loss to Texas A&M to get them out of the tournament. But a coach like that, you know, Randy's from Clemson. He's been there and built West Virginia into a perennial NCAA regional team. But are you going to lure Tim Tadlock from Texas Tech? Absolutely not. Josh Holliday from Oklahoma State? Absolutely not. Your program's already better than Kansas and Kansas State, so that's not going to happen. David Pierce at Texas has a really good... So it's really tough to say if there's anybody in the Big 12, but I think if you have an assistant with head coaching experience, then that's always a possibility. And there aren't very many of those of that caliber in the Big 12, or really in the SEC even. And that includes guys at A&M.
I'm just wondering if Moose sticks to his thought here, Bill, about having head coaching experience, or if the opportunity's too good to take a Childress assistant. I think you got to go back to what that coaching tree was under Van Horn that built it up here. Am I too narrow with that?
But again, Dave Van Horn was a complete unknown when he got hired by Nebraska. He had good success in Northwestern State.
Yeah.
And Bill Byrne identified somebody who had the right amount of hunger and was not afraid, you know, from Arkansas to down south to come back to coach in Nebraska and build up his career. So if Nebraska goes after a young guy who's got some head coaching experience, you know, it's happened before that somebody's had success at Nebraska, and Van Horn is the example. But I think people have grown up thinking, well, Dave Van Horn must have grown up in Shickley. That's not the case. But you can find, you know, a good young head coach that could have great success at Nebraska if he's not afraid of the climate and has good recruiting connections and knows how to get the most out of his player. So, but I think you look at it and say, okay, what do I have if I'm gonna go after? And I hasten to say Rob Childress, because I think everybody's pointing in that direction. If you're going to go after Rob Childress and you're going to spend the money, and if Texas A&M wants him, you're going to get into a bidding war and you're looking at minimum $500,000 or more. And all of a sudden, you know, you're getting into a bidding war that is unlike anything that college baseball has seen.
What's the highest salary?
If you're going to go for a former Husker assistant with no head coaching experience, well, you're certainly not going to pay him north of $5 million. You know, that now you're going to get a bargain, you know, basement, you know, salary, like essentially what Darren Erstad was making. And I hasten to say, I hate to say that $200,000 is bargain basement, but in this era of collegiate sports, that's going to be a low-end salary.
Darren,
so you can't give Will Bolt, R.D. Spees, Justin Seeley, and every other former Husker a major money. You know, Bill Moose has a checkbook that he can use to go after some big names, and if they say no, all right, here's my next slot. And this is how much I can afford for these guys.
Bill, I got 30 seconds, bud. Last thought. What's the number? I mean, I think Childress is making close to $1 million. We're talking 850-ish or something. If you come at him with 1.5, would A&M counter that?
I doubt it. Okay. I would doubt it, especially with a new athletic director. But I don't think Nebraska wants to get into paying baseball coaches that kind of money. That would floor me.
That's a river of money floating, Billy D. Though
you might be able to find a good young assistant coach for a lot less than that, who's going to take the program where you want it to go. The problem with throwing so many names out there is like when you get a pet or you start having kids, and people say, "What are you going to name it?" "Oh, we're thinking about naming it this." "Oh, that's too bad. You should name it this." And now, when whoever Bill Moose hires, with all these names that are out there, it's going to be like, "Oh, you should have gone after Brian O'Connor. Oh, you should have gone after Rob. Oh, you should have," and people are going, "Will Bolt," and nobody knows, what the success is going to be for the next guy who has the job. The job is certainly better now, after 7 or 8 years of Darren Erstad, than it was when he took the position. Right?
Bill Dolman.
You've got good leadership, and you got money, and you've got facilities, you've got a fan base. And as long as you can keep Big Red Booger off the internet saying stupid stuff, you're probably going to have a really enjoyable time being the head baseball coach at Nebraska.
Billy D, thanks for the time, brother.
All right, go Big Red.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, winding down a Tuesday. It's the Colton and Elijah show tomorrow with Hail Varsity Radio. Radio is both ready to step in. Good stuff this hour with Bill Dolman and Jabba Chamberlain. Mitch Sherman from The Athletic, fantastic. Show's going to be posted on Hail Varsity. The podcast will be up a little bit later tonight. And... could also find the show on iTunes. It don't cost nothing. Spent plenty of time on Maurice Washington's situation. And you got to think about suspending him indefinitely, but not dismissing him, if that makes any sense. With the paraphernalia charges that are out, can Nebraska land Rob Childress or somebody of that ilk for their next head coach? Bill Moose, what are his expectations and what's the interest level like? I think there's interest because Bill Moose is going to pay you and you've got good facilities. You just need to be confident in your ability to navigate in the North. And if you're willing to leave a good spot, that's good. You're going to have good pitching, obviously. That'll be key. And academics always important. And you're also able to recruit. I mean, last year, Nebraska's freshman class rated number 16 by D1Baseball.com. So you've got young players that saw action. And I'm just wondering how closely you're going to stick to that previous head coaching experience. I mean, it'd be nice, but I don't think you cross Will Bolt off because of that in a Power 5 D1. Is he ready? Don't know. You think he might be ready. If Childress is a phone call, he says no, but thanks. Here's my guy, Will Bolt, that just coached in the Big Ten for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an option. We'll see where Nebraska ends up.
Yeah, well, you look at the tie, like we've been saying. Will Bolt played for Nebraska. He was an assistant with Nebraska, head coach at the junior college level. I don't know. I get where Moose is coming from as far as head coaching experience. Obviously, you want the best of the best when you're trying to fill a position. You don't want to just fill it to fill it. But I think you're willing to take a risk on a guy that's an assistant at a program like A&M and the runs that they've made, rather than like an assistant coach at not Power 5 or somewhere lower. And, I think it's worth the risk, but – if you can get Childress or you can get, I'm not saying Van Horn, but a guy like Van Horn, or you can get a guy that's in that top 15 as far as salary goes right now, I mean, why not?
Well, and the other part of this, too, to think about, Colton, is I mean, Bill's point's very good. No one knew who Dave Van Horn was until they became Dave Van Horn, and they're kicking butt and winning in the Big 12. A&M's got a decision to make with their new AD.
Mm-hmm.
Do you extend him another 4 years? Childress is 50 now, or close to 50.
He'll be 51 this year, yep.
So,
and he's on the hook for two more. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it'd be weird to walk in and look at what
he's
done.
We're going to wait about it.
Yeah.
No. So. Good stuff. Tomorrow, you guys take care of business, all right? It'll be good. Colton Stone, Elijah Herbal, Chris Schmidt will be back. I'll be back at you on Thursday. Thanks for tuning in to Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.